Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you for kicking off your week with us. It is Marathon Monday here in Boston. And you know what? I don't have to drive through any of the traffic. My general route has nothing to do with the marathon. And for that reason, I say happy Marathon Monday to everybody. And congratulations to all of the runners. I know it's a little early for congratulations. You won't be. Has it started already? It must start early in the morning, right?
They do the wheelchair races first, men's and women's, and then I think the actual big marathon.
I think everyone starts at different times.
Yeah, so it's kind of staggered. I don't know who's going on. I don't pay that much attention. I don't know what's going on right now.
You know what? I was listening to Billy Costa this morning on Kiss 108, and he was talking about how he must be a marathon runner, you know, like one of those people who does multiple ones. And he talked about his first marathon, and he said that because they'll send you off at different times, sometimes you're waiting for like an hour before you can actually go. And I thought, I'm never going to run a marathon. Yeah, I'm saying that right now. But the idea of knowing you're going to run 26.2 miles and then you're standing for an hour. And I know it's like, Grace, you can stand for an hour. But yeah, I can stand for an hour on a good day, but not if I'm about to run 26.2. Like that time to me, I got to sit down. I got to sit on the pavement, I guess, because I'm not wasting an hour's worth of energy standing. But I give such kudos to people who run it. Not for me, never going to be me, but God bless you. And wow, what a feat. So have fun today, everybody. It's a beautiful day. You couldn't ask for better weather. And again, like I said, you know, Howie hates this day because he's had so many problems with the traffic in his life, trying to go around, especially living in Wellesley. That's not a problem for me.
Yeah, when we when RKO was in Brighton a few years back, I kind of had to navigate around stuff to get in there.
I'm sure it gives you a different perspective on the marathon. You know, it makes you a little jaded towards it.
Now, you know, now I just drive by the Mass Pike exit on 95, and it's like, oh, traffic, and I'm like, nope. Doesn't matter to me anymore.
It's really easy to be optimistic and nice when something doesn't affect you at all. You're like, go for it, guys. Keep on running. Keep on trucking. All right, so we have a great show planned. I know that it's a holiday for a lot of people here in Massachusetts. People are taking the day off, but this is a great place to be because it was a crazy news weekend and there's still so much stuff to catch up with. And we are bringing out the A-team today just because some people are relaxing and resting in Massachusetts and taking the day off, we are bringing you the best guest possible. I've got Ben Weingarten joining us at 2 o'clock. There's no one better to talk not only Israel, but to talk Iran. He's an expert on all things Iran. He's an expert on the Obama administration and their handling of the Iran regime. He's an expert on Biden and kind of the repercussions of Biden's policies. So he is going to be able to go through everything with us. And also, Mark Salinas in the 1 o'clock to talk about this hush money trial, but not just to talk about the hush money trial. I also want him to talk about an interesting story about the January 6th defendants and that they brought to the Supreme Court. I think it's Fisher. That's the name of this case. And it could affect the legal course for all of these defendants in the January 6th trials because it talks about a certain statute of obstruction and whether or not it should be used in these cases. It was pretty unprecedented. So we're going to ask Mark about that. And I think that's important as well to give people an update on those defendants. And I want to ask him about Karen Reed because that case is obviously huge here in Massachusetts. And we just found out that Mark follows it very closely, which I'm thrilled to hear about because it's nice to check in with that. But speaking of Trump's hush money trial And then we're going to get, don't worry, the opening of this, where we are going to talk about this weekend, the missile attacks on Israel. But I just want to say one thing. Jury selection is starting today in this hush money trial. And I was watching the news this morning, and it talked about how you're not allowed, jury selection's always interesting. I just had a friend who was on jury duty, and she was walking me through how they go through the process and how they pick people and, you know, what they ask you. And there's certain things you can't ask. You can't ask someone, I guess, this is according to what I heard this morning, you can't ask about someone's politics. You know what I think would be really fun, Jared? And we'll just do this throughout the course of the show. If you think of something you want to call in and say it, or if you just want to use the text line, this might be a good text line conversation. The text number is 617-213-1066, 617-213-1066. It's almost like, what are the questions you could ask to figure out, if you're Trump's lawyers, okay, what are the questions you can ask to figure out if a juror is going to work for you or not without saying, are you a Republican or a Democrat? Like, I guess you could ask, how do you feel about global warming? There's all these ways around it, and I want to hear your best question. If you're Trump's lawyers and you're sitting there next to him and you're looking at all these jurors and you've got to decide, what are the questions you ask to figure out, do we want this person deciding the fate of the former president of the United States? And I know it's not the fate, really, but it's a huge case. And when you read about, Jonathan Turley has an excellent piece today in the New York Post, when you read about the hoops that Alvin Bragg jumped through to try to somehow manipulate this case, to bring this case to fruition, it is historic for all the wrong reasons. And we're going to talk to Mark Salinas about that. But Jared, I have a feeling you have an idea already.
The first question would be, juror number 8.
Yes.
What are your pronouns? And if it's anything other than what does that mean, yeah, you're out.
There's so many that you could ask to know someone's. And it's actually just an interesting conversation. Like, if you wanted to know someone's politics.
Do you feel that you would like to make America great again, juror number 14?
What is that? When you see a red hat, what is your reaction? Is it visceral? Do you get upset?
Is that a real nose ring?
There's so many questions you could ask. And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they have ways around all of this. 844-500-4242. But let's talk about what happened over the weekend. Iran launched a massive ballistic missile attack on Israel. Now, thankfully, due to Israel's air defense system, including the Iron Dome, which, by the way, the squad has been, you know,
Yeah, bad weekend for the squad.
Very bad weekend for the squad. They have been trying for years, try as they might, unsuccessfully, to defund the authorization of the Iron Dome. They're very anti any sort of aid going to the Iron Dome. So that Iron Dome, the air defense systems in Israel, managed to intercept, the numbers we're getting right now, according to the Israeli army, 99% of the attacks, which is remarkable. Now, the Biden administration's response, actually, you know, before we even go to the Biden administration's response, I want to talk about a story in regards to this that, in my opinion, is not getting that much attention. I called Howie this morning. And I said, can you believe Joe Biden's telling Bibi Netanyahu? And this is, I think, the quote that everyone's running with. He had a phone call with Bibi Netanyahu. Now, he has not been shy about the fact that he's very mad at Bibi. Like, they keep, Marco Rubio was on this weekend, and he said they keep leaking this, that he's, you know, he's really mad at Bibi. And the reason they're leaking it is because they're trying to posture themselves to look good in front of these nuts in Chicago and other places that are screaming hands off Iran and, you know, death to America. This is the voter that they are, you know, embarrassing themselves in front of to try to win over their votes. So Joe Biden says to Bibi, you know, take the win, basically don't respond. Be happy that you were able to intercept all these missiles and they didn't actually kill you, and just basically sit on your hands and wait till the next time. But take the win. That's what he told Bibi. And so that's the headline today for a lot of these networks and a lot of these talking heads. So I called Howie. I said, can you believe he said that? Like, the nerve of this guy telling Bibi Netanyahu to take the win. Because I saw some commentators. There was one really good tweet from a guy on the National Review. He writes for the National Review. And I thought his logic on this made perfect sense to me. He said, people are getting confused. This guy's name is Mario Loyola, and he writes for NRO. He said, Israel's defense systems are not there to protect Iran from the consequences of the missile attacks. They are to protect Israel. Now, here's the point I really like. He said, the U.S. and Israel both must treat the attack as if every one of those missiles had landed. That is what I would think you would do. I think if a terrorist regime launched thousands of missiles at the U.S., we wouldn't all be sitting here going, well, thankfully, you know, our defense system was pretty good. Anyway, let's just carry on as usual. I think you would operate as though they had landed. You would operate as if worst case scenario. What if they had been successful? Now, there are reports that they never wanted to be successful. They were just, you know, they wanted this. That's why they sent out warnings before and all of these other...
Don't.
Yeah, the don't directions from the president obviously did not hit home for Iran. Now, first of all, I'm sure behind closed doors, Biden was shocked that Tehran didn't heed his don't advice. To be fair, though, in their defense, which I don't find myself doing often, in their defense, Biden also told Putin, don't. And that was a few months before he backtracked, if my timeline is correct, and it could be fuzzy. Keep in mind, it very well could be fuzzy, but if my timeline is correct, he issued the don't warning a few months before he backtracked and basically greenlit the minor incursion into Ukraine. So I think it's confusing at best, and people don't take the don't seriously at worst. Now, that might have actually been, which is perfect, you play that, Jared, that might have been very similar to what happened in this case. And I go back to my phone call with Howie, where I said, can you believe that Bibi Netanyahu is now getting lectured by Joe Biden on how he should take the win and basically do nothing? And Howie said, well, what about the reports that the Biden administration told Iran that its attack on Israel had to be within certain limits, like that they knew about it? Not only did they know about it, but that they said it had to be within certain limits. In other words, they okayed it. They minor incursion this. And I hadn't even, it's nowhere. Reuters reported it. And trust me, it's hard for me when my source is Reuters, because everything in me wants to say they don't know what they're talking about. But I will tell you this. When I have the option of trusting the Biden administration or anyone else, you throw in anyone, Michael Cohen, Reuters, AP, The Washington Post, Jennifer Rubin, There's a very good chance I'm going to side with my other option, because I have never seen a group of people who lie so often and so poorly as much as this administration, this bunch of feckless failures. They lie about everything, about dog bites, about absolutely everything. And so I do tend to believe that the Biden administration communicated to Iran through the Turkish government that its attacks on Israel had to be within certain limits. And if that doesn't completely turn every Jewish Democrat voter against Joe Biden, I don't know what to tell you. That to me is, that's it for him as far as that group of supporters that he's so worried about losing. I have to imagine they're gone at this point. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on all of this when we come back. You know what's something I never thought I'd say? And especially since I was little, it was always one of my least favorite things was to, oh, I got to get my teeth clean. I got to go to the dentist. It was right up there with getting a haircut for some reason. I was always scared of getting a haircut. And I never thought I would say, I can't wait for my next dentist appointment. I can't wait for the next time I get to get my teeth cleaned. But hear me out. It's because the team at Perfect Smiles makes everything perfect. From teeth cleaning to total smile transformations, really runs the spectrum of whatever you want to get done. They can make it happen. They have state-of-the-art equipment. They have dedicated experts at Perfect Smiles, and their mission is to deliver the smile of your dreams. Another thing you're going to love about Perfect Smiles, Dr. Houghton listens to you. This is not something where it's one size fits all. You come in, You're part of the process. He wants to give you the smile that you want and that you're proud of. And we all know that's very unique, and it very much depends on the individual. And Dr. Houghton gets that. He's going to take it at your own pace. And the end result is going to be the smile of your dreams. It's easy to put yourself at the bottom of your to-do list. Don't put your oral health care on the back burner. Don't wait another day. Get the ball rolling. Get it moving in the right direction. That's all I'm saying. Give Perfect Smiles a call. Don't just trust anyone with your smile. Trust the A-team at Perfect Smiles. That's what I do. That's what Howie does. And there's a reason. It's because they're the best. Go to PerfectSmiles.com and find out how to take the first step toward the smile that you've always wanted. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back. We've got tons of sound to get to. I want to take your calls. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Yeah, everyone's texting in and being like, oh, Biden's advice to Iran didn't work. You know, he told them don't. Yeah, but if you tell them don't, and then allegedly you also say, hey, by the way, your attack should be within certain limits. I mean, I don't want to accuse Biden of delivering mixed messages, because we know that he is an incredible communicator. That's like number one on his list of strengths. Communicating, empathizing, not falling up the stairs. Those are his top three. But it seems like you're kind of giving them two different things. Oh, yeah, you know, don't. But also, it's okay if you do. Wink, wink. It's the same thing he did with Russia. Do people not remember that? It's not like, Jared, the minor incursion thing, why I keep going back to this is not only because it's happening again, but because he didn't do that behind closed doors. That was during a press conference, which, P.S., kind of explains why he doesn't do press conferences anymore. Because now, instead of doing them in front of the press and saying, hey, it's okay if you invade Ukraine as long as it's minor, now I guess he's just doing it behind closed doors. The wink, wink, nudge, nudge is still happening. And people wonder why we're on the brink of World War III. It's like, how is this man in charge? I know he's a foreign policy expert, according to him, but it doesn't seem like he's using those expertise. Let's go to Peter. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Peter?
Hello, Grace. How are you? I came in late to the show, so I'm not sure if anybody said this, but, you know, the biggest concern that the world has had in the United States is the nuclear capabilities of Iran. So I think after tossing 325 missiles into Israel, I think Israel would be very well justified to take out any nuclear capabilities of Iran and set that program back, you know, decades. I think, and I think the world would be a relief if they did that.
Yeah, and you know what you just made me think of, Peter, is that a lot of Israel's detractors here in the United States are saying things like, "Well, we don't want to escalate into, you know, a world war. We don't want to make things worse. We don't want to." And I understand that. But first of all, what we've learned from Iran over the past few decades is that they only respond to strength. They don't respond to this weird, like, trying to compromise, trying to be friends with them, I don't know, giving them billions of dollars. But that's the other part, is that people say, well, would you want American soldiers fighting in Israel? No one's talking about that. Israel hasn't asked for boots on the ground. Israel hasn't asked for... Israel has received aid from us because they are our ally. And we've helped them fund the Iron Dome. We've sent them billions of dollars in aid. You know what I think Israel would really appreciate? How about we stop giving tens of billions of dollars to Iran? Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask that we stop funding the people and the terrorist organizations that want to wipe Israel off the face of the planet? Like, to me, that's not a huge ask. That's just common sense. Thank you for the call, Peter. We're going to get back to this. Reuters is reporting that the Biden administration communicated to Iran through the Turkish government that its attack on Israel had to be within certain limits. I want your reactions, and we got a lot of sound when we return.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that we can make good on our commitment to defend Israel. It tells me that Israel does have superior military capability. Just think about the hardware that Iran threw into the sky and how little damage that caused. I mean, that's a real testament to how strong the IDF is.
Well, I'm sure that they're happy that you're so impressed over in Israel, but they probably would also hope that this doesn't happen again. And again, and again. And you know what I am going to talk to Ben Weingarten about, because I was listening to the Morning Wire today, and they had on an expert who was discussing Israel and Hamas and Israel and Iran. And this guest they had on was explaining how, you know, prior to October 7th, things may have played out differently. Not just Bibi Netanyahu, but all of the powers that be in Israel that are trying to decide what to do militarily on this. They may have responded differently in the past, but after October 7th, like, I think we're a little removed from it, obviously. We don't understand to the full extent, and I don't think we ever could, just how life-changing that was for the people that are still in Israel, and how they're not going to move on from that. They watch their children being taken from them. They've watched women being raped and dragged around at the kibbutzes. They watch people have their heads chopped off. They're not going to operate in the same way that they did prior to October 7th, nor should they. This is not, you know, just a military strategy for them at this point. This is their existence that's on the line. And if I were Bibi Netanyahu, I would look at Joe Biden. He's saying, you know, take the win, take the win. I would say, do me a favor, just get out of the way. How about that? Just get out of the flipping way. I don't care if you send us people. I don't care if you send us money. Just stop sending Iran tens of billions of dollars and telling them that they can invade and telling them they can attack us. How's that? By the way, I should mention here, because I know Biden's word, his word as a Biden means a lot to you. They are denying that they ever gave Iran the green light. So I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but that's what they're saying. I'm glad, Jared, that you played John Kirby, because really, Kirby's going on. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to go on the weekend shows and try to explain how placating Iran for the last, you know, three decades has played out well for liberals. And so it's going to be John Kirby. And he goes on there. And you know it's bad when you go on Fox and you get grilled, and then you go on with Stephanopoulos and you also don't do well. And I'm starting to think that Kirby is just in an alternate universe. Remember when he was talking about the Afghanistan withdrawal? I mean, this guy has overseen so many disasters. It's almost impressive at this point, if it wasn't so sad. And he was saying that from his perch, things didn't look that bad. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, you know, from my perch, and I'm thinking, well, I bet one of those 13 U.S. service members who was killed at the airport in Afghanistan, in Kabul, would have preferred to be in your perch, because your perch seems like it was a lot better than the people that were surrounded by the Taliban trying to get out. So this is what Kirby has to say now. He's on with Fox News, and I want to play cut three, because this is going back to that line that Biden allegedly said to Bibi Netanyahu, take the win. He doesn't want him to escalate it any further. This is actually on CBS. This is cut three.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
Maybe I'm just, I know all these people, Jared, they're all very, very smart. You know, they're the best. They're the brightest. And maybe I'm just too sensitive, or I'm too angry. But I don't like the phrasing of that. The success that you enjoyed as Iran launched a massive ballistic strike on your country. This is the success that you enjoyed. It makes it seem like Israel should be so happy. Oh my God, we blocked all of the missiles. Guys, let's party. What were y'all so worried about? This is awesome news. The success they've enjoyed. Oh yeah, they should really just chalk this up as a win and go home. And by the way, this would have been a bigger story today if that strike hadn't occurred over the weekend. But there was a little bit of a clarification because, you know, Hamas is also very clear. The Biden administration is always Hamas is also very clear about their numbers. They come out with these numbers about civilian casualties within 15 seconds of any sort of strike. They're able to tell you 10,000 people died. And of course, people like the activists in Chicago who are, let me get a little sound of this, Jared. Let's get cut nine. These are the Chicago activists.
Hands off Iran. Hands off Iran. Hands off Iran. Hands off Iran.
Yeah, I'm not buying this idea that these activists who get together right after an attack on Israel, like they all get together really quickly. You know, they get out the cardboard signs and the markers and they get together and they put blood on their hands or red paint on their hands and they get together. I'm not buying the idea that they're just pro-Palestinian. Sorry. BS, don't buy it anymore. I've never seen this kind of enthusiasm pop up in this country like it has since Israel has been enduring all of these attacks. Oh, I'm sorry, has been enjoying all of this success of blocking all of these attacks. I've never seen this sort of energy before. The only time I saw it was about climate change, which is now on the back burner because we have a bigger fish to fry. You know, we need to send Hamas all our support at all times in this country. So while that group is chanting, a story came out over the weekend about Hamas and the Ministry of Health. That's where we get all our numbers from. That's where all the journalists get their numbers from, and they pump them out to everyone. It said Hamas is now saying Israel has killed 22,000, not 33,000 Gazans, meaning the combatant to non-combatant ratio in this war is greater than 1-1, which would be phenomenal, life-saving achievement. Unsurprisingly, legacy media is crickets. Now, you might hear me say that, and you might go, well, 22,000 is still horrible, and it is. But the actual point of this, the reason I'm reading this to you right now, is because it should remind people that Hamas, and I know I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Hamas is not a reliable source of information. Hamas, any figures they give the mainstream media here in the United States should be questioned, but they're not. They're oftentimes promoted in articles. Sometimes they're promoted by sitting members of Congress, like Rashida Tlaib. Now, that seems like a pretty big miscalculation. 33,000 versus 22,000. It's almost like these numbers that they're throwing out, they're just making up. They're pulling them out of thin air. But that would have been a bigger story today had these strikes not been occurring over the weekend. Had Israel not been enjoying the success of blocking the ballistic missiles firing towards them. Isn't that a weird... Am I wrong about that, Jared?
No, not at all. I mean,
maybe it's like military speak, but I just think it's very condescending and kind of dismissive of the fact that a terrorist regime just launched a massive scale missile attack at Israel, and they're supposed to be sitting there like, guys, we did a really good job blocking that. We should be proud of ourselves.
You know, just be glad and, you know, just relax and be glad you weren't totally annihilated like they wanted. You know, that's a win for you guys. Why bother defending yourselves at that point, right?
I think the dumbest...
People are idiots.
The dumbest follow-up of this whole thing from John Kirby, and trust me, he had some whoppers. It's hard to choose. But trying to blame this on the Trump administration, I know Trump can do anything, okay? I get it. But even so, take a listen. This is John Kirby with Shannon Bream, cut two.
Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and death to Israel.
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue, or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place, can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use it.
They can't.
Why can't they? Because again, it does, you know, he goes, we've had this conversation about money being fungible, but yet you still don't understand it. And by the way, when you're dealing with Iran and you're dealing with any of the leaders of these countries that are antagonistic towards the U.S. and Israel, and they say outright, hey, we're going to use this stuff. Oh, but it's earmarked for humanitarian aid. It's earmarked for humanitarian aid that's going to be hijacked by Hamas the second it crosses the border. You can't take it because it's for humanitarian aid. It's for Hamas. They're the ones who are supposed to. And then you have these leaders who say outright, we will use this for whatever we want. We will not be constrained to what the U.S. tells us this money is for. You're going to give us tens of billions of dollars, or unfreeze, if you want to use that term, unfreeze tens of billions of dollars. We'll use it for whatever we want. But why believe them? I mean, why believe their own words? Let's believe John Kirby and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and all these eggheads. Let's believe their delusional pipe dreams that somehow all of these conversations with these people who hate Israel, who hate the United States, that they'll just, you know, that common sense will prevail. We can trust them. They won't use it for anything bad. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. Face it, the world is a scary place. Oh, that is an understatement. It seems like the current administration is on a mission to make life more dangerous while at the same time making it harder for Americans to protect themselves. Luckily, FlipLock is here and can help you protect yourself and protect your family. I love the FlipLock security door lock. It's unpickable, unbreakable, and it's 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. It can withstand over 1,500 pounds of pressure. You're going to see this lock and you're going to go, that's such a simple idea. I wish I had thought of that, because it really does make sense. It's like a last line of defense. You can have all the high-tech security cameras. You know, you can have all this stuff dependent on Wi-Fi, dependent on power. But you want something there to actually physically stop an intruder from being able to get into your home. And that's the Flip Lock. And that is why I want you to check it out. Go to FlipLock.com and save 20% with code GRACE20. And while you're at FlipLock.com, watch the video. See how it works. See why the Revere Public School Systems installed Flip Locks in all of the classrooms. See why people are loving this device, why it's giving them peace of mind, how they can install it in less than 5 minutes, and how you can save an additional 20% with GRACE20 at checkout. So again, this is a really great way to protect yourself, to protect your family. You can get one for, you know, your grandson or granddaughter, or, you know, your own kids if they're going to school for the first time, they're in a dorm, or if they're just moving out for the first time in their own apartment. This is a really great way to protect yourself or your family from intruders, and it gives you peace of mind, which makes it worth every penny. Go to FlipLock.com. It's FLIPLOK.com, FLIPLOK.com, and save 20% with code GRACE20. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by JB Auto Care in Weymouth, Massachusetts. Keep your car, truck, or SUV running in tip-top shape. Get $20 off an oil change, conventional or synthetic, when you call today and you let them know The Grace sent you, or you book online at jbautomotive.com. Com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is how would you describe your concern over Middle East problems escalating? Not concerned, somewhat concerned, or very concerned?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like John Kirby or Joe Biden are very concerned. They feel like Israel should just take the win. You know, your Iron Dome is working great. Your
great
defense
job.
System's working great.
Orange wedges for everyone.
Yeah, and everyone should just relax. I'm very, very concerned about this because I find that Joe Biden is so, you know, frozen in fear over these radicals chanting death to America in the United States of America. And I hate to sound like an old grandpa with an onion on my belt, but I never thought I'd see the day. These are the activists. These are the peace activists. You know, I was so glad Marco Rubio brought that up. He's like the peace activist, supposedly. I don't seem very peaceful all the time. But I guess it's just one of those things. When it works for you, you're a peace activist. I'm going to say very concerned.
60% of the audience is very concerned. 31% say they are somewhat concerned. 9% are not concerned.
Yeah, some people are saying, listen, you know, Iran sent out warnings before to several different countries, giving them a heads up so that it wouldn't be successful. Other people are saying Iran should be embarrassed because of how unsuccessful it was, you know, from their perspective. So we're getting a lot of mixed messages. I will say this. The fact that Joe Biden allegedly, or the White House allegedly gave Iran the okay as long as it was an attack within certain limits, if that is true, that's a massive story. And I'll follow it up by saying this. Even if it's not true, the journalists in this country, using air quotes, should be all over this. If this were Donald Trump, we would have the transcript. Hashtag release the transcript. This would be the number one story in the world. And I've seen it in like two places. The Daily Wire because they picked it up from Reuters. But besides that, no one seems to be even concerned. Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, Grace. You have a great program.
Thank you,
sir. And I sure hope that after Mr. Trump becomes president, there will be another Trump to follow him to keep this country solvent and in good shape. So what I wanted to say is Biden is not any kind of an expert on foreign policy. He's completely feckless. He doesn't understand anything. And his whole approach to what happened in Ukraine when the Soviet Union was massing troops by the thousands in Belarus, he said, oh, well, if it's only a small incursion, it doesn't matter. And the same thing with, I forgot the other one, but...
No, Mike, your point about the minor incursion with Russia, we have been talking about that this morning because it was kind of the blueprint for what he also just did with Iran, if you believe Reuters, which, trust me, it's a cold day in hell when I'm believing Reuters. But given the option of Reuters versus Joe Biden, I'm going Reuters every day and twice on Sunday. There's no doubt about that. And by the way, if I ever say on this show Joe Biden's a foreign policy expert, please know that all the way deep down into my soul, I am being as sarcastic as humanly possible. I am of the mind of Robert Gates.
By the way, that was a joke.
From the Obama administration, who said Joe Biden, and he likes Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been wrong on every single foreign policy decision over the last five decades. And that's a guy who considers himself a fan of Joe Biden. And that was the nicest thing he could come out with, is he's been wrong on absolutely everything. So is it any surprise? And by the way, you brought up Trump. That last caller brought up Trump. Let's play a little bit of Trump at his Pennsylvania rally. This was his response to Iran launching an attack on Israel. Cut 10.
Before going any further, I want to say God bless the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. That's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown is unbelievable, and it would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. But America prays for Israel. We send our absolute support to everyone in harm's way.
Now, meanwhile, Joe Biden's saying to Bibi Netanyahu, you guys should just take the win. Call it it a day. Don't push the envelope. Wait till the next attack. We'll be right back with Mark Salinas talking Trump's hush money trial. Don't go anywhere.